It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Somebody to explain to me how this makes sense. Nobody's been able to do it yet. Nobody's explained to me why this makes sense. Can you tell me? Yes. I'm from here. Now, Chicago, this might make sense. Ferguson, Missouri, this might make sense. How does this make sense in Oregon?
Come on, get on the roll!
Oh,
heave!
Come on!
Sandy Rios with you. I wanted you to hear, that was a montage of the sounds from Portland, Oregon just last night. I think that was their 60th night of rioting. And finally, the police did declare it a riot last night because the federal officers, you know, are charged with protecting that federal building there. So they were not on the streets fighting with them. They told them, I guess the police told the rioters, peaceful protesters, I should say. There are thousands of them, by the way, descending on Portland right now. But they were told last night that if they did not breach the fence around, they could protest all they wanted to if they did not breach the fence. And so, of course, what they did was they breached the fence. They took, if you see the videos, Adam, let's put that Daily Caller article on our Facebook page so people can watch some individual videos, because you might not see it on the news. I'm just telling you, you might not see this on the news. The news is hiding this. The news is not reporting. Now you say, well, Fox is reporting it. Well, yes, Fox is reporting it somewhat, but I'm telling you, things are shifting, and I will give you Exhibit A. Harris Faulkner, who I love, was on the afternoon show, and Katie McElhaney was giving the afternoon briefing from the White House. And so Kaylee surprises the press corps because the press is not, in fact, I'll give you an example. Seattle. This just came into my box a few minutes ago. Television station in Seattle, KIRO TV, reported that thousands of people peacefully gathered in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on Sunday in a demonstration of solidarity with Black Lives Matter protests in Portland. But of course, Seattle is a whole other issue. I'll get to that in just a second, because it wasn't peaceful at all. But that's what's happening. And we know that NBC and CNN and others are blocking out information about these riots. They're blocking them out. And so that you wonder why your neighbors are not as upset as you are. It's because they don't know what's going on. And so Kaylee McElhaney at the press corps briefing thought, you know, she would play a video of what's happening in Portland. And we're going to you're going to hear audio from that. Then you're going to hear Harris Faulkner. This is Fox News' coverage. So you would be watching this. If you were watching Fox, you'd hear Kaylee, you'd hear this video, and then you would hear Harris. And I want you to listen to it, because this is why I am I'm more than concerned. I've just pretty much given up on Fox right now, and you'll see why. Let's listen to that.
If you could play that video, that'd be great.
Thank you.
I hope someone burns down your whole precinct with all y'all inside. Can't wait to see it.
As you can see, that is anything but a peaceful protest.
All right. We were not expecting that video, and our management here at Fox News has decided we will pull away from that at this time.
All right, so now this is happening at Fox, too. Just expect they're going to start downplaying this violence. And even I can tell, I don't know Harris personally. I've been on camera with her, but I don't know her personally. But I sense that she is just a really fine person in every way, quality, and it's going to bother her. Okay, I shouldn't extrapolate that, but I'm just telling you, these hosts at Fox, a lot of them are going to be twisted six ways from Sunday now, because they cut away from what Kaylee was trying to do, was to show the press, force them to cover the rioting that's taking place on the streets. Now, in Portland last night, they finally had to declare it a riot. They did that, I think, in the wee hours of the morning. After thousands, after they broke through the fence, they threw incendiary devices. They're still using their lasers, which has blinded a couple of the federal agents already. They're well-equipped and well-organized, and even when the authorities come after them, they back up, but they don't run away. However, I would have to tell you that in watching so many videos this morning, I believe this was Department of Homeland Security forces and military of some sort. No, I shouldn't say military. Department of Homeland Security officers. They're dressed in camouflage, but that's part of what they do. They're supposed to protect federal property, and that's the way they dress. But I saw them finally after it was declared a riot. Man, they came out on the streets and they cleaned them out. They cleaned those streets out, which actually did my heart good, because you see that they can do it. If they're allowed to, they can actually do it. I want you to hear what the director of Homeland Security, acting director, they're all acting. Ken Cuccinelli, the assistant, is acting also, because they can't get confirmed by our Senate. So I'm just saying, because they're way too controversial, Chad Wolf and Ken Cuccinelli, too tough on crime, I'm guessing. And the Republican senators are, a little timid about, especially the ones that are so bad on the issues and don't want to take a stand because they're getting ready to be elected, haven't bothered to fully confirm these guys. So they're working away, spending their days and their nights trying to save this country. So here's Chad Wolf, the acting director of Homeland Security. Let's hear what he has to say about Portland.
What's going on in Portland is very different than any other city across our country today. What we have in Portland is every night, again, between midnight and 5 a.m., you have anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000, upwards to 4,000 violent individuals targeting federal property, federal courthouse there in Portland, and federal law enforcement officers. They are arriving every night using city streets and city parks. They're coming armed with rocks, bottles, baseball bats, power tools, commercial-grade fireworks, eliciting that violence and targeting their violence on federal courthouse and federal law enforcement officers. That's very different than what's going on in Chicago, places like Chicago, Albuquerque, Kansas City. That is where you see normal criminal activity, street crime, what we say, regarding gangs and drug dealers. And again, President Trump and the administration, led by the Department of Justice, is targeting that type of crime. But again, Portland is very different. What we see in Portland is a city, at least at certain hours of the night, completely out of control. We see city leadership there has fostered an environment that allows these criminals to do this throughout the night, untouched, absolutely untouched. It's time for Portland to join other responsible cities around this country, working with federal law enforcement, to address this violence.
All right, so that's Portland. And I want to play something else for you, though, because there are some heroes. Today I'm going to talk about some more heroes in a different situation, but there are some heroes. These are two black men, two against the thousands in the street, violent protesters. Two black men, unarmed, stand in front of the federal courthouse, and this is what they say. Clip 4.
We find a solution together. We are not listening to people who yell, burn this down. Fight these people. Give them up. We don't listen to them.
Your problem is
there's injustice all over the world. We're causing more injustice, committing more injustice. That won't do.
You know, they're saying, don't listen to these people that are saying, burn this down. This is not about justice. That's part of what they said. And I believe one of those guys, I'm pretty sure, was the one that was waving an American flag all by himself just a couple of nights ago. So there are heroes in Portland, and God bless them for their courage. All right, so meanwhile, in Seattle, I wanted to tell you about Seattle, because last night I told you that the television station there is claiming it's peaceful. K-I-R-O. Oh, boy, trying to talk too fast. K-I-R-O-TV reported that thousands of peacefully gathered in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on Saturday morning in a demonstration of solidarity with Black Lives Matter. Not so peaceful. So what they did was they went and they burned and tore up completely a Starbucks, a beautiful Starbucks. But the problem is, of course, it's not just the Starbucks and the customers who were frightened out of their minds, but it's the people who lived in those apartments over it. They've had to clear out. In fact, ironically, and this really is ironic, because there's a Seattle radio host who is, you know, he's a woke dude. And he goes on every day, and he said earlier, this is what he tweeted, walked through it last night out of curiosity and saw no burning, pillaging, or deaths. He said that in response to a Trump tweet calling out the violent leftists who continue to terrorize Seattle. Chill, dog, Gallant added sarcastically. But he's changed his tune ever so slightly, because last night it was his apartment that was above that Starbucks. And so he feels very different about it now. I'm really having trouble talking this morning. It's because I have so much to tell you. I'm sorry. I'll slow down and try to make it as clear as I possibly can. Last night, he had a sudden change of heart towards those peaceful protesters when he came home to his apartment complex, which had been vandalized. He found the Starbucks underneath broken into with graffiti plastered on the storefront, and the police told the residents to stay away in case there were explosives inside. And he basically said he was really angry right now. He and his cat had ventured out after he witnessed a fire roaring three blocks away. And then he said, I feel I need to buy a firearm because clearly this is going to keep happening. Enough is enough, he said in his most recent tweet. So let's just say the Seattle woke radio host has now really awakened, and he's a little upset about it because he should be. I saw there are now protests in other cities. As you probably know, Louisville, Kentucky, Three members of the Black Lives protest were shot. They were shot by their own people by accident. They had a lot of armed black men in Louisville. That was the distinctive of their rally. And then we have Chicago, which I'm going to get to in just a second. But I want to emphasize, I'm going to be out of time here, I wanted to emphasize how the media is handling this. They are claiming, of course, that Department of Homeland Security are Trump's troops. And they continue to, what's happening is, this is the propaganda. The news media is now not going to be showing those riots, and I bet you're going to see less of it on Fox, too, because they don't want people to know how bad it is, because that's good for President Trump, because he actually wants law and order. And heaven knows it's worth, you know, having people killed. Did you guys see, that reminds me, did you see the guy in Ohio, the video about this black man holding down a white baby about 2 years old and a white guy without a shirt putting his knee on the neck of the baby while the baby cries. Anybody see that? Did I say before that evil doesn't know a color? Did I say that? I believe I did. What's happening in our country is just wicked. I'll be back after this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
If you want to be a drag queen and your parents don't let you, you need new parents.
In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality is coming soon. And you have an opportunity to preview this movie from American Family Studios on August 1st.
The issues are unavoidable.
They're on the news.
I did not have a chance to comment on how good the White House looked in rainbow colors.
The preview will feature testimonies from former LGBT individuals.
And my dad walked in the door and he said, Denise, I want to become a woman.
And a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual warfare waged during the making of this documentary.
There will be protests and objections to us talking about this topic.
The powers of darkness do not want truth to go out.
For the last year and a half, we have met and prayed specifically over this project.
Visit inhisimage.movie to register for the free sneak preview coming August 1st. That's inhisimage.movie.
And you are made in the image of God.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for General Charles Brown, incoming Chief of Staff of the United States Air Force. General Brown is a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and military advisor to the President. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us of the importance of wise counsel. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for General Charles Brown as he works on behalf of our nation's defense and security. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 49595. That's LU Tag to 49595.
What a strange time to live in America, where the land of the free is not so free. For years, our civil liberties have been under assault from a militant army of secularist, leftist, and anarchist, waging a fierce war on the First and Second Amendments. I warn people in my book, Culture Jihad, that we were on the verge of losing cherished values, and my fears have been proven true. 62% of Americans say they are now afraid to share their political beliefs. That's according to a new study from Cato. 77% of conservatives say they censor themselves, afraid their political opinions might offend people, afraid they might lose their job or be publicly shamed by the cancel culture mob. In other words, conservative Americans are being bullied into silence. That's not just un-American, that's unconstitutional. Be sure to listen to my national radio show noon to 3 Eastern, or you can download the free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. I want to talk for a second. That was a powerful spot, wasn't it, on that In His Image movie that we're just launching? And I want to just say a word about that because I haven't had a chance to talk about transgenderism and all that's happening on the scene. That used to be an area in which I was an expert, and I guess I am more than the average citizen, but I can't, because of all that's happening in the world, I can't watch it as closely as I used to. And so I'm so grateful that American Family Association, our film department, has made this movie In His Image. One of the people featured in this is a good friend of mine, Walt Heyer, who was a man who became a woman, lived as a woman. He was an executive in California, and then was miserable, just miserable. Walt's story is just incredible. He's been our guest more than once at this microphone. He's become a good friend, and he's going to tell his story, but there's a lot more than that. And we want you to see it. Remember that there is a pre-show event on Saturday, August the 1st. It's a free online event where you can watch parts of In His Image. And if you want to be a part of that, all you have to do is go inhisimage.movie, inhisimage.movie, and you can register for that. You will not be sorry. This, you know, one thing, AFA makes tremendous films. They're powerful. They're well done. And this topic, of course, is very important to all of us. In the coming days, I'm going to be giving you some ideas of the kinds of prices people are paying for taking a stand on this issue. And because we have so much going on in our streets, we're missing this. And I'll just mention, it's happening all over the world. In fact, in Northern Ireland, Barclays Bank has informed a Christian charity, which is called Cores Issues Trust, that they can their account has been closed and they cannot do any more banking because they've been accused of embracing this conversion therapy, which, of course, there are so many myths about that. But the whole notion, the reason that the LGBT movement is against whatever you think conversion therapy is, trust me, it's very legitimate. It's a way to help people that don't want to be, they want to be in union with their natural gender, with how God made them. And so they struggle. And so conversion therapy is a way of helping them work through that. But you would think that, you know, it's like showing a cross to Dracula to show it to the LGBT movement, the radicals, because they want to stop anybody that even talks about it. And so now they've gotten to the bank, Barclays Bank, Facebook has banned them, PayPal has banned them. And this is happening here, too. It's happening all over the place. It doesn't surprise you, does it, after what we saw happen in North Carolina with the bathroom issue? LGBT forces in this country, the leftists, are radical and powerful. And so that's why we feel the need to present this film to you in his image. Remember, it is August the 1st. It's a free online event, and you can register at inhisimage.movie, and we'll be talking more about that this week. All right, I want to move to something else that happened over the weekend. I'm sure you know that baseball openings took place last Thursday, I think it was. And before that happened, the president made a statement. Basically, it was, he believes that sports are essential. They're an essential part of the cultural fabric of our great country. He said, especially baseball. He said, we must find ways to bring sporting events back while still protecting the health and safety of players, staff, and fans. So that was supposed to start Thursday night. It did. MLB is set to start a 60-game pandemic shortened season in Washington, D.C. That happened last Thursday night. Now, this is old news for a lot of you. Let me just say before I start this, this is dangerous ground for me because I am just a sports ignoramus. I really am. I mean, I know some things well, but I know most things not at all. And so when I start trying to talk to you about sports, I fear, leagues, coaches, teams, players, I'm out of my vocabulary. I'm out of my nouns. I really am out of my league, but I have to make some points today. And so forgive me if I misstate some things. You are welcome to correct me, gentlemen back there in Tupelo, because I might need some help. But because I don't want you to miss the points I want to make, because I think they're important because of my fumbling some of the names or my understanding of the leagues and so forth. So the president was very excited. He made that statement that return to sports is an essential part of America. And so Thursday night, we had some opening games. We had the L.A. Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. And so this is what we were treated to. If you watched that game, this is what you heard and saw. Let's listen.
In order to achieve effective change and create a new canvas of optimism, empathy must lead the charge. This moment signifies our charge, our brotherhood, our unity. Equality and unity cannot be until there is empathy. Today and every day, we come together as brothers, as equals, all with the same goal, to level the playing field, to change the injustices. Equality is not just a word, it's our right. Today, we stand as men from 25 nations on 6 continents. Today, we are one.
Yeah, okay, so we are one, or maybe not so much. MLB, Major League Baseball, has embraced all of this Black Lives Matter movement. I think that's the astounding thing. So what you had on Thursday night was the Giants and the Dodgers standing as they do at the beginning of the game, facing off on the batter's mound on either side. And so they shared a black ribbon and stood in solidarity of Black Lives Matter. Yeah, so that's what they did. And some of them, even most of them, I think, this is where I'm not sure. During the national anthem, I think many of them took a knee too. I don't know how many. I wish I could tell you. But I will tell you this, that No, I can tell you this for sure. There were two different things. There was the Black Lives Matter display where they stood in solidarity with that black ribbon, and then there was the national anthem. And so Sam Coonrod, who was a second-year Giants reliever, said, you know, he was the only one that did not kneel. He was the only one. His the coach, I think it's Gabe Kapler is the coach, I think he is, said basically, told the players before the game that they were not compelled. They needed to do what they felt was right. And so Sam Coonrod, who is a strong Christian, would not kneel. And it's he said because he doesn't kneel to anyone but God or Jesus. He said, I can't do that. I was interesting to go back and find out a little bit about him. Of course, I knew nothing about him, but Sam Coonrod has been very open about his faith. In fact, we found a little clip of him speaking some time ago. It was a San Francisco Giants Fellowship Day, and I thought it would be good for us to listen to what his own voice about how he feels about his faith. Let's listen to clip 8.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if Christianity is true, it would be the single most important thing in the entire universe, meaning that we are all guilty of sin, and we all deserve to go to hell because God's perfect. So the Bible says that if you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, God will save you. It also says that verily, verily, I say unto thee, unless you repent, you will all perish. So 10 out of 10 people die. You're dead a lot longer than you're alive. So you really need to know where you're going when you die.
All right, that was Sam Coonrod, and Sam is the only one who did not kneel during the anthem, and he said because he would not kneel to anyone except God. Now, you know it's going to be hard for him. I mean, the left is not going to let him be, and he's a young guy. It's just his second year playing, and so God bless him for his courage. Heaven knows we need more men of courage like that, and you can hear from what Sam said that he is deep in his faith. He understands. It's not just... He's not shallow. He understands the importance of what he did and why he did it. And I'm sure it wasn't easy for him. Meanwhile, the Yankees and Nationals also had their opening night. They took a knee before the anthem in Washington, D.C. They also wore black patches with Black Lives Matter t-shirts during batting practice. They were all in. And so, interestingly enough, they did have an audience. You know, most teams were not able to have an audience, and so they did what these cutouts, did all kinds of things to make it seem like it was okay, even though it's not okay. It's terrible, really. What they're doing is just terrible. And so they did have one person there to watch them, actually three that I know of, and one of them was Dr. Anthony Fauci, who loves the Washington Nationals. According to his own words, the Washington Nationals. And so he got to throw out the first pitch. And if you haven't heard this, you should hear. Here's the announcers describing Anthony Fauci going to the pitcher's mound, throwing out the first pitch, clip 9.
What you'll see from baseball 2020, we get a real good feel for tonight. And now one of the more well-known Washington National fans, Dr. Anthony Fauci, to throw out the first pitch.
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Dr. Anthony Fauci now, not in front of a large crowd, but certainly in front of a national television audience. I would have thought, given just how big a fan he is of baseball, that would have been something. But look, the man has been so busy, that is not something he probably has had time to practice.
I'm speechless, Carl. I'm speechless.
So he bounced it and threw a little wide.
Yeah, threw a little wide. If you saw it, it was hilarious. It was so bad. It was so bad. He throws the pitch. It goes way to the right side of the pitcher. I mean, way, way, like, all, you know, between first base and the pitcher's mound. It was a horrible throw. And they're trying to be politically correct. Well, he hasn't had time to practice. Okay, so that's what Dr. Anthony Fauci did at the Nationals game. But I could laugh about that. I would. I mean, I would have laughed if I'd seen it. I laughed when I watched it later. But I actually have a greater point to make. Why do you think there aren't people in the stadium? Why do you think people are not in the stadiums watching baseball and we're having to use cutouts? And those of you who love baseball, and it is America's pastime, why do you think you can't go? You can't go because of Dr. Anthony Fauci. He did an interview on Yes Network a couple of weeks ago. What's the date on this? No, it's actually back in the spring. And it says, you know, I would feel that there would have to be a completion of the multiple phases of the reentering into some level of normality. And even when you get to phase three, it still requires a degree of physical separation. I'd have to be in a city where the level of infection is so low that if anyone gets infected, that health department has the capability of identifying, isolating, and contact tracing, and blah, blah, blah. Even with that, I cannot see a return this year to what we consider normal. He said, I think quite literally, although it's always dangerous to predict, I think it's more likely that you're going to have more of a television baseball than a spectator baseball. Okay, so says Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading expert on COVID. Leading expert, leading. The one we all trust. This guy knows all about it. And when he says, empty the stadiums, we empty the stadiums because, after all, he is the expert. So then here's the problem. We now see lots of pictures, not just one. We see lots of pictures. I wish I could. Maybe you've seen them, and if you hadn't, let me describe it. We've got three people watching the game, the Washington Nationals, Yankees, New York Yankees game. We've got three people, and it's Dr. Anthony Fauci and his wife and a person, another person. So there's three that I know in the stadium. Maybe there are some others, but in this section, they're the only ones. And guess what? They're sitting shoulder to shoulder. They are not social distancing. Dr. Fauci's not social distancing. His wife is not social distancing. Their friend is not social distancing. And let me just say, the person sitting next to them is not their son or their daughter. It's not related. It's a person that they know sitting right next to them. In addition to that, Dr. Fauci, who is so concerned that you not go to the game because of the great dangers of spreading this disease, is sitting right next to the person who's not related to him, not wearing his mask. Dr. Fauci is not wearing his mask. In another frame, his wife is not wearing her mask. Oh, they have it pulled down. Yeah, it's on their chin. And Dr. Fauci was criticized for this. He says, oh, no, but he was hydrating. He was hydrating, you see. That's the reason. Except the problem is, in this picture, he's holding his phone up. He's actually looking at his phone, and so is his wife. They're not hydrating. They're looking at their phones. One frame, she has a mask on, but another frame, she doesn't have it on, in case you see the wrong frame, just so you know. But Dr. Fauci has got his mask pulled all the way down, and guess what he's doing? Oh, by the way, he's laughing. He's smiling. He looks very, very happy. And so it looks to me like he's sitting dangerously close to that person he's not related to, potentially infecting this man, because when he laughs, you know he's spreading his droplets. And so this is Dr. Fauci at the game, the game that no one else can go to. But Dr. Fauci, this is his team. He gets to go, and his wife gets to go, and that friend gets to go. But you don't get to go. And Dr. Fauci is just really happy. He's having a really good time. Why is he having such a great time? Well, he and his wife and friend are enjoying that game that you can't go to. They're having a good time. They can go, you see, but you can't go because Dr. Fauci said it's not safe for you to go. He said you must social distance and you must wear a mask, but he's doing neither, just to keep that in mind. And by the way, the stadium is empty because he said it wasn't safe to come. By the way, he has no remorse. He looks around the stadium. It looks to me like I would feel sad. Wouldn't you feel sad that that had happened, that we were at this point in the nation? And another thing I want to ask is, why is he so happy? After he threw that pitch, that horrible pitch that was shown on national television, shouldn't he be just a little bit embarrassed? But he's not. He's happy, he's smiling, and he's sharing his droplets with the person next to him without his mask. In the stadium, not social distancing, while he said to all of you, you cannot go. And if by some strange reason, you should go. You have to wear a mask and social distance, but not for Dr. Fauci. Different set of rules. Now, is it really true what he's saying about the spread of COVID? If it's really true, why is he doing this? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
to a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio. Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Planned Parenthood of Greater New York will remove the name of Margaret Sanger, the national organization's founder, from its Manhattan clinic because of her harmful connections to the eugenics movement. Yeah, right. What good does removing the woman's name from a building do when you continue the practices that reflect her views? If you recognize that Sanger sought to exterminate the Negro population, sterilize those whom she called human weeds, and prevent those she deemed genetically inferior from reproducing, you got to do better than a building name change. You still kill babies. That is her legacy.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Democrats in Congress have been on a genocidal rampage against statues of prominent Democrats. The statues are in the Capitol and are of leaders who supported the Confederacy and fought to protect the institution of slavery. Sadly for them, of the 15 statues they want to get rid of, 13 are of Democrats, and the other two had no political affiliation. Virtually all the people whose names they want to obliterate from the face of the earth were from their own political party. The reason there were no Republicans in their scorched earth campaign is that the Republican Party was founded for the explicit purpose of abolishing slavery. So if we're going to exterminate symbols of racism, white supremacy, and slavery, the next thing we better do is eliminate the Democratic Party itself.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, the new Prime Minister of France led his nation's commemoration of the fourth anniversary of the martyrdom of Father Jacques Hamel, whose throat was slit by two jihadists as he said Mass. Given the recent full-on assault on churches across that country, though, it is becoming increasingly clear that the real target of such Sharia supremacists is not just believers in their houses of worship, but Christendom itself. As it happens, this problem is not confined to France. The Marxists doing business at the moment as the Black Lives Matter organization and Antifa have attacked and desecrated churches, their stained glass windows and statues portraying so-called white Jesus. The fact that many state and local officials have seized on the pandemic to prevent Christian congregations from worshiping together is intensifying the sense that the faith is under siege worldwide. Paging President Trump, this is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, so that was the sound, again, of Portland last night. Those peaceful demonstrators, you know, they weren't peaceful. It's just horrible. It's horrible. And actually, Ken Cuccinelli said in an interview that he saw firsthand Antifa at work in Portland. Of course, it's Black Lives Matter operatives. Who cares? I mean, they're all Marxist. Both groups are Marxist. And so, but Antifa was in Portland, and that was confirmed by Ken Cuccinelli, the acting Undersecretary of Homeland Security. Nevertheless, Gerald Nadler, who was the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, was asked about that as he was going to his car. I thought you might be interested in hearing what he had to say. Clip 13.
There's violence across the whole country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa that's happening in Portland right now?
That's a myth. That's being spread only in Washington, D.C.
About Antifa in Portland?
Yes.
Sir, there's videos everywhere online. There's fires and riots. They're throwing fireworks at federal officers. DHS is there. Look online. It gets crazy, Mr. Nadler.
Yeah, so, that's a myth. That's a myth. There, Antifa, that's a myth. I'm hoping to do actually a long-form interview with a friend of mine, acquaintance now, business friend, who writes about Antifa from Spain. And I'm hoping to get him this week, actually. But yeah, it's a myth. According to the chairman of the Judiciary Committee of the House of Representatives, the Democratic chairman, it is a myth. It is a myth. Okay, so meanwhile, part of the propaganda continues by not showing you the videos, not letting you know how violent it is, because they're peaceful, you see? They're peaceful. And it's Trump. It's Trump who wants to send in Trump troops. He's the one doing the lawlessness. In fact, I'll give you just a taste of how they're laying this out so that you'll understand fully what's happening. Clip one.
You've got this image of federal forces coming in. That's not going to calm people down. That's not going to make people think that they're living in a just society so they don't have to protest anymore. It's going to make people think, once again, the government is trying to silence them unfairly. It ramps up the tensions.
The individuals that are in Portland are acting under FPS authority, Department of Homeland Security authority. Doesn't have anything to do with an executive order. This is existing authority that has been on the books for decades. That is the authority they're using to go in and to protect a federal facility. FPS protects almost 9,000 facilities around the country. There's no other facility that has this type of violent activity night after night after night.
The one concern that I do have, and this is a concern shared by the Secretary of Defense, he has expressed it, the DHS folks who showed up in Portland and who are now apparently being distributed to some other cities as well, were wearing camouflage battle fatigues. To the untrained eye, as they were walking down the streets of Portland, they looked like U.S. soldiers. I think that is very deceptive.
Let me repeat, these officers are not military. Let's not confuse that. I've seen inaccurate press reporting accusing them of being military. They are not military.
These agents protect and serve the American people. Yet the rhetoric of the left undermines our justice system, with Nancy Pelosi calling them stormtroopers, Jim Clyburn calling them the Gestapo.
I pick my own words. I'm not going to get into, what I disagree with whatever any one of hundreds of different other people have said. I want to get to the right policy.
The department was established to protect America from the ever-present threat of global terrorism. It was not established to be the president's personal militia. And then as governor, I go back to those days, be a cold day in hell before I would consent to an unilateral, uninvited intervention in one of my cities.
It clearly comes off exactly the way that they describe. The president threatened to use the U.S. military. So the president then turned to Bill Barr in the Justice Department to use DHS as, his own personal military.
All right, I'm going to interrupt that. That's a longer clip, but that is Congressman Earl Blumenauer that you're hearing, the repeated voice. Hey, he's one of the congressmen from Oregon. Oh, the president, this is the Trump, this is his personal troops that he's using, to take over power, not to, restore order in Oregon. Of course, we heard from another congressman in Oregon just a couple of days ago, I think last Thursday, that there's no problem. Everything's in control under Oregon. We don't need the president to send anyone in. So this is the propaganda 101, in case you missed that Goebbels course that was taught. So this is what they do. They try to, and then they erase the videos of the riots and the protesting, and then you start believing. And the another voice that you heard in there was Tom Ridge, the former director of Homeland Security, the former governor of Pennsylvania, and he says, you know, oh, this is just, and he's a Republican, appointed by George W. Bush. I want to repeat what I said last week because it bears repeating. Tom Ridge is coming out swinging, criticizing the president, and saying he would never do that as governor. He would never allow someone to come inside. Well, I think that might be true because I remember well that he would not allow anyone to inspect Kermit Gosnell's abortion clinic. He was he loved Planned Parenthood, Tom Ridge did, protected them at all costs. And so all kinds of babies, wives, or mothers died as a result of the sloppiness of that clinic. Tom Ridge is just a disgusting person to me. And so I want you to know that's who, you know, thinks the president is out of line by sending in these troops. He has no credibility whatsoever. Which brings us back to the whole political point of this. We are an election year, and really we are helpless to stop so much of what we see. We need to support our police, whatever groups Act for America under Brigitte Gabriel is doing a great movement called Back the Blue. Back to Blue. And so we've talked to Brigitte before, and maybe we should have her back on, but you can look at Act for America and find out where you can get involved with that. So support our police, but you also need to pay attention to these elections because they're very important. President Trump was on with Chris Wallace a week before last, Sunday, a week ago. And I played quite a bit of that, or at least some of it, and I was not happy with the way Chris treated him. I never am. I'm not a fan of Chris Wallace. He's very unfair. He treats Democrats much differently, or leftists much differently, than he treats Republicans. There's no question about it. I saw him just treat Michelle Bachmann abysmally, just disgracefully. I've seen him do the same thing to Stephen Miller. But enough of that. So Chris then asked the president about his IQ or some intelligence test, and the president defended himself and said Joe Biden would not come here and do an interview. He would not submit himself to these hard questions. So Chris Wallace, to his credit, put that to the test, and this is what he said yesterday in his broadcast. This is clip one.
You've got this image of federal forces
or
coming
16.
In.
I'm That's sorry. Not this is clip 16. I'm sorry. Sorry. That's 16. Not going
to make people... In our interview last week with President Trump, he questioned whether his Democratic opponent, Joe Biden, could handle a similar encounter. Well, this week we asked the Biden campaign for an interview, and they said the former vice president was not available. We'll keep asking every week.
Yeah, okay. So Joe Biden is not available. I want to tell you a little bit about what's happening with Joe Biden because I don't talk about him very much. And maybe I do you a disservice because you might not be hearing this other places. You maybe don't know what's happening with him. So I want to kind of make sure that I give you some information about this. He just recently received the endorsement by Million Muslim Votes Summit. And he pledged to them to end the travel ban on day one. The travel ban, which they call it the Muslim ban, is simply the president of the United States forbidding travel from areas of the world where there were Islamic activists, terrorists is the word I should use. But, of course, they love to call that the Muslim ban. So this is what he had spoke to the attendees of the Million Muslim Voters Summit. And added another task for his first day as president. He pledged to end the Muslim ban. It was attended by, of course, everything has to be virtual, by a handful of Muslim political activists, including Linda Sarsour. Remember her? Linda Sarsour is the radical leftist Palestinian. Let's see if I can kind of remind you. She hates Jews. She is so far to the left that she was kicked out of the Women's March, the one that wear the, those pink hats. They kicked her off because she's so radical. But she is now, she's a loyalist to Louis Farrakhan. And of course, he is so anti-Semitic, and that's fine with her. And that's why she was kicked off of the Women's March. But she's endorsing Joe, and he was there to receive that endorsement. And this is what he said. Under this administration, we've seen an unconscionable rise in, he calls it Islamic phobia, and incidents including kids being bullied in schools and hate crimes in our communities. He's named people with a history of, President Trump, he's saying, has named people with a history of open Islamic phobia, instead of Islamophobia, that's Joe's word for it, open, straightforward, who have no business serving in high positions in our government, to keep leadership roles in our Department of Defense and the U.S. Agency of International Development, And so it's the largest, by the way, Engage Action hosted the summit. It's the largest Muslim American PAC in America. And it's promised to get out the vote in swing states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Florida in November. And for good reason, there are a lot of Muslims in those states. And so that's what Joe Biden says. He's going to end that ban on day one so that Muslims, even Islamic extremists from any country, will not be banned from coming in. That's what he said. Also, he has said to them, this happened, this was back in earlier, oh, so very long ago. This is July 21st. He was speaking to the Engage Action's Million Muslim Voters Summit. And he says, look, one of the things I think is important, I wish we taught more in our schools about the Islamic faith. I wish we talked about all the great confessional faiths. It's one of the great confessional faiths. And what people don't realize is one of my avocations is theology. Don't realize is we all come from the same root here in terms of our fundamental basic beliefs. I don't know if they have time to stop and explain to you why we don't all come from the same root when it comes to Islam. But he wishes that more of our schools would teach Islam. I think that's what Joe Biden wants to do, in case that's interesting to you. And so let me tell you what Ted Cruz is saying right now. He says that he has accused Democrats. I think he's spot on. That's why I'm going to quote him. He talks about, he accused Democrats of deliberately seeking to extend coronavirus lockdowns of businesses and schools so that President Trump suffers politically ahead of the presidential election. Democratic-aligned teachers' unions have remained opposed to opening schools. In Los Angeles, the teachers' union has made overtly political demands as part of its reopening plan, including defunding the police, taxing the wealthy, implementing a moratorium on charter schools, providing Medicare for all, and blah, blah, blah. We are 100 days out from the presidential election. The only objective Democrats have is to defeat Donald Trump, Cruz told CBS News Face the Nation. And they cynically decided the best way to defeat Donald Trump is shut down every business in America, shut down every school in America. And so, of course, now in the Congress, they're talking about extending this government money to people that aren't employed. I realize for many of you who aren't employed or you've lost your jobs because small businesses are struggling so much, this is a controversial issue, and that's why the Republicans are scared to take a stand. But the Democrats have folded in $600 a week, more than their unemployment. $600 a week, that's what, $2,400 a month more over your unemployment. That's why people don't want to go back to work. That's why business owners, small business owners, are having trouble getting people to go back to work because they can make more money not working, and now Congress is busy trying to extend that. This is all a sabotage of our economy for purpose, and I think Ted's right about this. By the way, I saw an interesting little meme, I guess you call it. It's an elephant, and under it it says J-O-B-S, and then under the donkey, the same kind of image, it says mobs. Jobs or mobs, that's your choice. So that's what's coming up in the election. I wish I had more time. There's more things I wanted to tell you about a black supporter of President Trump who is in Milwaukee. He's a business owner. He was shot in broad daylight right in front of his store. And then I would love to have told you about a man who was a former veteran of the United States Marine Corps, served 4 years after graduating from high school in Milwaukee, in Fond du Lac. He was 26 years a police officer in the Department of Fairfax, Virginia. He was on a motorcycle in Milwaukee when a Daniel Navarro, who's one of these activists, didn't like him, swung across the median and thought he was conservative because he was on a Harley, hit him head on and killed him. It should have made national news, but it didn't. We have trouble, and we must continue to pray that God will deliver us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.